You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Joy of Judgment Day. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
In a special bulletin issued by the Gallup poll a few months ago, the researchers reported that the United States now leads its English-speaking cousins in Canada and the United Kingdom in matters of faith. In the United States, 96%, or nearly all adults, believe in God. But in Canada, things are different, very different. And according to the Gallup survey, this change in religious attitude in Canada has been rapid. For example, over the past 10 years, the number of Canadians who believe in God has dropped dramatically, from 87% to a surprising new low of only 70%. And the number of Canadians who believe in heaven has also dropped over the last 10 years, from 71% to a low of 61%. Now, it is also no secret that when it comes to religious questions, the opinions of the public have often swung up and down, and sometimes even wildly. And when one raises the more specific questions as to what the Bible says about these ultimate issues of life regarding heaven and hell and Judgment Day, then one certainly gets a wide variety of opinions and also interpretations and misinterpretations from the Scriptures. Therefore, instead of adding still another opinion to all the other thousands of other opinions on this subject, let's begin by reading from the Bible. Let's see what Jesus said about that most interesting and indeed most dramatic and certainly most controversial subject, the Day of Judgment. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, we read that one day Jesus spoke a parable saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who arranged a wedding for his son. This king sent his servants to summon those who had been invited to the festivities. However, the Bible says, those whom the king invited refused to come. Then the king tried again. He sent more servants, saying to them, 'Tell those who have been invited, my wedding breakfast is all ready. My bullocks and fat cattle, they have been slaughtered, and everything is prepared. Come to the festivities.' But again, those who were invited, they took no notice of this. The Bible explains they simply walked away, one to his farm and another to his business. But then, after even one more unsuccessful try, in disgust, the king turned to his servants and said, 'The wedding feast is quite ready. Those who were initially invited were not good enough for it, so now go, yes, go into all the street corners and invite everyone you find to the feast.' The Bible then says the servants went out into the streets and collected together all those whom they found, bad and good alike. Now, as a result of this final invitation, the hall became filled with guests. Then something very unexpected happened. The king, the Bible explains, came into the wedding hall to inspect the guests. And when he did, he noticed among them one man who was not dressed for a wedding. The king then asked this man, 'How did you come in here, my friend, without being properly dressed for the wedding?' And the Bible then states, the man had nothing to say. Then the Bible continues, the king said to the ushers, 'Tie him up and throw him into the darkness outside. There he can weep and regret his folly. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Oh, this is certainly an interesting parable that Jesus told, wouldn't you agree? And it is indeed shocking to see that there were those who turned down the king's invitation. It is also exciting and deeply moving to see how the king then invited everyone, including the poor and the outcasts, to his wedding feast. But the most troubling part, yes, the most troubling part of Christ's parable is the man who was thrown out of the wedding banquet simply because he did not have the proper clothes. Now, Jesus raised a number of interesting points in this parable about the kingdom of God. According to the Bible, on the day of judgment, God will be checking all those who will be attending the great banquet. He will be checking to see whether we will be attending the wedding feast of the Lamb on the basis of our own righteousness or on the basis of Christ's righteousness. And every time we think of Judgment Day, the devil tempts us to believe that this event will be decided on how holy or how righteous a life we have lived. The Bible, however, teaches that even our very best efforts, even our best religious efforts, outside of faith in Jesus Christ, they are like filthy rags. Speaking by the inspiration of God, Isaiah the prophet said, "For all of us have become like the one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment." No man, not even a preacher or a priest or a super religious layperson, will ever be saved as a result of his own spiritual achievement or his own religious works. In the Bible we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." This is also then why the parable that Jesus told is so critical today. On the day of judgment, God will examine all those who come to the final banquet feast. Those who are attired, yes, those who are wearing the proper wedding garment, they will dine with the Lord in glory forever and ever. Those, however, not having the proper apparel will be bound hand and foot, the Bible says, and cast into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And what is? Yes, what is that garment that Jesus was talking about that will save sinners like you and me from the judgment on the final day? This garment, of course, is the righteousness of Christ. Because you and I sin daily, we can never achieve a saving righteousness on our own. We need a perfect righteousness that will come not from within us, but from the outside of us. This is not some new religious teaching. Centuries and centuries ago, Isaiah, the same prophet, who spoke about our best religious efforts as being no more than a filthy garment in God's eyes. Yes, this same prophet also spoke about the saving wedding garment of saving righteousness that God gives us as a gift which comes through faith. Isaiah writes, "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness." The Apostle Paul describes this same saving righteousness, which you and I so desperately need at this hour, if we are going to be saved. St. Paul writes, "I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Then St. Paul writes, "I count all worthy things as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but a righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." This then is the secret. This is the answer, yes, the good news of the gospel that Christ was talking about in the parable of the wedding feast. One man was thrown out because he tried to be admitted to the kingdom of heaven on the basis of his own righteousness. But God will never permit this. Only those who arrive in heaven clothed in the saving righteousness of Christ, only they will be permitted to enter. Then the doors of heaven, they will be closed forever. And so then, my dear friend, trust not in your own self-righteousness, but instead by faith, trust in the sin-cleansing and soul-saving power of Christ, which cleansing and righteousness he gained for us by his death and resurrection. And when you do, God the Father will then declare you, yes, he will clothe you with the saving power of the righteousness of our blessed Redeemer. This week, thousands of churches all over the world are celebrating the Protestant Reformation. On October 31, 1517, nearly 500 years ago, an obscure monk nailed onto the door of a university church in Germany 95 theses. These religious statements calling for reform in the church quickly spread throughout all of Europe. Now, It is interesting to note that Martin Luther, who is often called the father of the Reformation, he was truly driven by a desire for reform in the church. The spark, however, that lit the reforming fire began in Luther's soul. While he was still a child, Luther looked forward with dread to that day he would have to stand before God. Luther knew that God would accept nothing less than a perfect and righteous person. And, of course, Luther also knew that he sinned and that he failed much every day. Luther understood that he was not clothed with a perfect righteousness. As a result, the knowledge of the coming judgment terrorized his conscience. One day, however, when he was studying the Bible, Luther was reading St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and as he was studying, he learned that in God's saving gospel, the righteousness from or of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "But the righteous man shall live by faith." Oh, for years, yes, for years, Martin Luther had been troubled and tortured because he believed that he had to earn his own righteousness in order to be saved. Now he learned from the scriptures that through faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father would declare that the righteousness of Christ was his. Oh, what a joy this good news of the gospel was. Luther now understood that he could be saved. Yes, he could be declared righteous through faith in Christ. Later in his life, Luther recalled these traumatic and joy-filled days when he had learned about the righteousness of Christ. He then said it was as if he had been born again. He said it was as if the very gates of heaven were opened for him. This great Reformation of 500 years ago not only affected Martin Luther and other pastors and religious teachers, the Reformation affected the common man, poets, and hymn writers. And this has continued down all through the ages. For example, in 1739, after returning from a missionary journey, Ludwig von Zinzendorf wrote, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head." Over a century later, Horatius Bonar wrote, "Thy righteousness, O Christ, alone can cover me. No righteousness avails, save that which is of thee." And so then, when you and I today look forward to the day of judgment, we can do it with fear, or we can do it with joy. We can approach the judgment throne of God, hoping in vain to be saved by our own self-righteousness, or we can instead trust in the saving righteousness of Christ. And when you and I, by faith, trust in Christ, then God, for Christ's sake, declares us righteous in his sight. No matter how hard we might try, yes, no matter how hard we might work at this, we can never become righteous, but only by the grace of God and through faith in Christ, God declares us righteous. The Apostle Paul describes that joy that you and I can have today so beautifully when he says, "God made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus." And so then, my friend, look to the day of judgment no more with fear, but instead with great anticipation, look to the grand and glorious wedding feast that will be given on that day for you and for all those who will be wearing not the garment of their own righteousness, but the God-pleasing and soul-saving righteousness of Christ. With this unshakable hope and joy, you can then say with a hymn writer who wrote, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.